Good morning, everyone. I don't know if you guys are aware, but Christmas is almost upon us, and I'm very excited about that. I wanted to share with you guys one of the ways that our family has kind of been counting the days down. We have our four-year-old daughter is very, very excited for Christmas this year. Last year was like her first Christmas being kind of aware of what it was, and you know, we got to talk about the meaning of Christmas, and she had that anticipation. But this year, it's a whole other level. And so we got a couple, we've been doing a couple cool things with her to help her kind of see how close it is. And so she's not always asking, you know, when's Christmas. So one of the things we've done, we got this cool Advent calendar. Now, some of you adults here might want this. I know my wife is really loving this. This is a Disney Advent calendar. And when you open up, there's a little book, a little Christmas Disney story in here that you get to read. And so we've been reading these with her every night, and there's just a few more left to go. And then to kind of help her have a visual for how close Christmas is, we made an Advent chain out of paper links, and every morning she gets to tear one off, and this is all that is left of the Advent chain. And so I'm not going to lie, I kind of need this too, because I get really excited about Christmas even still. You know, I can't wait. Christmas Eve is actually my favorite. I'm going to calm myself down before I just spend the whole time talking about Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But I am so excited to, first of all, be with you guys this morning and as we kind of continue through Advent, but also looking ahead to celebrating with you guys Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. This Christmas is going to be different. It's going to be different for a lot of us. Especially here in America, we're still kind of dealing with, we're in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic is probably the worst it's been since it began. And so we're kind of in the midst of that. We won't be visiting our extended family, especially, you know, our grandparents, just to kind of keep them safe this season. And so that's a little bit different. But this pandemic has kind of, it was an opportunity. It's been an opportunity for all of us to kind of look at life a little bit differently, reevaluate what we value a little bit differently. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I thought, you know, maybe we could use this time, especially when we were on lockdown, to maybe read a bit more. And we did that for a while. We actually started a virtual book club with some friends from, you know, kind of different places that we've lived. And that was going really well for a while until it kind of died out. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll use this time to get back into running, to kind of get back into shape. I think I ran twice during the pandemic. So that didn't work. But one thing that did work was watching TV. We did a lot more of that this year than we ever have. And two series that we've really loved were, is The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, so big Star Wars fans now, and that has been really cool to watch, and we still have the finale to go, so no spoilers. And the other one was the Great British Baking Show or Challenge, depending where you are, and we really enjoyed that. And I keep telling people, when that came back on Netflix for us, which is how we can watch it, it was like for 45 minutes every evening when me and Amanda would watch this. It was like nothing bad happened in 2020. It's just such a nice, quaint way to end our day. And so talking about TV shows has kind of become an icebreaker in the midst of the pandemic. So many people are rewatching old favorites or kind of discovering new programs that it's kind of fun to see, okay, so what shows have you been watching during the pandemic? Or, you know, what shows did you go back and rewatch? And one show that I used to watch occasionally when I was a kid, I'm kind of interested to go back and check out, is this show, this is American action adventure kind of show called The A-Team. The A-Team came out in 1983. So that was like 7 years before I was born. I think I'm terrible at math. It could be more. I don't know. But when it came out, it was a pretty popular show. And one reason it was so popular was because it kind of had a very straightforward premise, and every episode kind of had the same kind of rhythm to it. And so this series featured a team of elite soldiers who had been falsely accused of war crimes in Vietnam. They escaped this military prison, and now they were working as soldiers for hire. And so the intro of the show explains that if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team. And each episode featured this plot where a person in need would find the A-Team and would need their unique skills and would hire them to kind of take care of a problem. And usually this problem involved a lot of guns and explosions and helicopters. It's all very exciting. And for the rest of the episode, you would follow the team as they form a plan, as they eliminate this threat, and as they enjoy their victory. And the leader of the team and the brains behind the whole operation was Colonel John Hannibal Smith. And he would often comment, I encourage you, go onto YouTube and look up a video that just shows every time this character says his famous catchphrase, I love it when a plan comes together, you know? And I can relate to Hannibal. I really like to have a plan and to see things go exactly how I planned them. It's a really good feeling. Our daughter Grace is the same way. And I found that she is more willing to listen and obey to, you know, what we need her to do when I prepare her ahead of time for what we're about to do. So I might say something like, okay, Grace, here's the plan. We're going to have lunch. Then we're going to go outside for a bit. And then we can do a craft, but then it's going to be time for a nap. You know, if I kind of lay it out for her, she kind of has in her mind what's coming next. And it really helps her transition from one thing to another. Unfortunately, Grace is discovering something many of us know, and that's that our plans don't always come together the way we expect. You know, if something changes or interrupts our plans during the day, it might lead to a mini meltdown as Grace cries out, but that wasn't part of the plan. And I feel for her, but I also know, because I know exactly that kind of feeling. How many times have we as grownups felt more or less that same way? And if you want to talk about things not going according to plan, look no further than our wedding. You know, whenever a man and I talk to a young engaged couple, in the midst of planning their big day, we make sure we remind them multiple times that despite all of their planning, something will go wrong. But the most important thing is that at the end of the day, you're going to be husband and wife, and just try to help them have realistic expectations that the plans we make often don't go exactly how we want them to. And this advice comes from firsthand experience. A man and I, we have very similar tastes, and so we knew that when we were talking about our wedding that we wanted to get married outside, that we would love to get married in the fall so that we could have – it wouldn't be too cool. It wouldn't be too hot, and we could have the orange and red and yellow leaves of the fall foliage kind of as a backdrop to our whole day and in all our pictures. And so we also planned, we wanted to do something meaningful in the ceremony. So we decided we would do a foot washing ceremony as kind of a way of saying that we are committing ourselves to serving each other in this relationship. And we couldn't wait for a big day, but we had to, because the venue that we were looking at didn't have an opening at the beginning of October. And so we had to push our day back towards the end of the month, where the weather is a lot less predictable. So long story short, it was freezing cold and overcast as we had our lovely outdoor wedding. If it had rained, it would have snowed. That's how cold it was. As we're up front and Amanda is shivering in her dress, and I'm looking out at our friends and family, and they're sitting very close together, definitely not social distancing, and they're all huddled together for heat and warmth. And earlier that day, I had to make a very scary phone call. You see, we didn't have much indoor room, so the whole outdoor wedding thing was a good idea. And so we actually had this great idea. We would set up the dance floor under the stars. And that's where people could go dance and we could just party the night away. And it was going to be great. And I had to call Amanda to inform her that we would not be using that expensive dance floor that we had purchased because it was absolutely freezing out. That was terrifying. But so all this to say is that our wedding did not go as planned. On top of this, the water was freezing for the foot washing ceremony. I forgot a towel, so I couldn't get my socks and shoes on. It was a mess. But we were married. We were married. And we were husband and wife. And, you know, to this day, people, our friends and our family, they very much so remember our wedding. It's rather hard to forget. They often talk about it, or perhaps they talk about how they survived it. But it will not be a wedding anybody will forget, and we will definitely not forget that day. It didn't go according to our plan, but God definitely orchestrated things so that it would be very memorable. You know, and 2 months after our wedding, we found out that we were going to be parents perhaps sooner than we would have liked to. So that didn't go according to plan either. But again, God knew what he was doing. And he gave us grace at a time that we needed her most in our lives. And the same for Lincoln. God gave us Link exactly when we needed him. So, you know, we have all these plans. We had these plans for the way that our life was going to go, of how our wedding would play out, of how we were going to start a family. But God made it abundantly clear at the beginning of our marriage that he has other plans for us. He has better plans for us. You know, despite the fear and the frustration that we may have experienced when our best laid plans were thrown out the window, we trusted that God's plan was better than our own. And even today, we're learning how to hold our plans loosely. We know that even when our plans go wrong, God is working out his plan for our good and his glory. You know, Joseph had been waiting for the day he could marry and start a family too. So when his friend told him about Mary, he knew that she was the one. She was the one he was going to marry, the one who would give him a family, the one who he would grow old with. You don't understand how difficult it was for Joseph to stand idly by while his family and hers worked out all the details of their betrothal. He felt helpless. And he felt like all he could do was stand there and worry. What if their fathers didn't get along? Would Mary's father set the bride price too high? What if his family couldn't pay it? Would he be alone forever? You know, but in the end, everything worked out. The dowry was agreed upon and paid, and the wedding could proceed according to plan. Since that day, Joseph had been hard at work adding on to his father's house, a place where he and his bride could live. Joseph was a craftsman. He made a living working with his hands, and one day he would teach his sons how to do the same. When he planned their new home, he made sure that there was plenty of room for children. He always liked the idea of a big family. And even though he couldn't see Mary until their wedding day, he had been sending and receiving messages through his best friend. When his friend would return from delivering his latest message to his bride-to-be, Joseph would stop everything he was doing to hear Mary's response. And more often than not, this was followed by a million questions from Joseph about Mary. He wanted to know everything about her. One day, as Joseph was applying some more thatching to the roof of his future home, his friend appeared on the road, and Joseph quickly laid aside his tools and climbed down to meet his friend, eager to hear how Mary was. However, as the two drew near, Joseph could see that something was not right. His friend's face was grim, and he was barely making eye contact with Joseph. This was bad. Actually, it was worse than Joseph could have imagined. Mary was pregnant. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. How could she do this to him, to his family? What will his parents say? His father would be furious. But what would Joseph do? That truly was the question of the hour. What would Joseph do? And quite honestly, he didn't know. And so he told his friend to return in the morning, and he would have an answer for him to take back to Mary's family. Joseph knew that he had some thinking and praying to do. It was going to be a long night. And for hours, Joseph paced and prayed and thought, sometimes out loud. So many emotions flooded his heart, worry for his future, sadness over what could have been, anger. He was angry, but he wasn't sure at whom. So many questions swam through his mind. How did this happen? Who is the father of Mary's baby? What was Joseph going to do? Over the last several months, he had come to care for Mary greatly. And though he was disappointed, maybe even angry at the way things were, he didn't wish harm to come to her. So instead of exposing her to public shame or criticism, he decided that he would end their engagement quietly so that they both could move on with their lives, just not with each other. It was getting late, and Joseph was exhausted, so he crawled into bed and eventually fell asleep. But it was a restless sleep. He dreamt of Mary. He dreamt of the life they could have shared, the family they could have had. He watched their children that never would be playing outside their home before they evaporated into mist. And suddenly these images faded away, and Joseph found himself alone in a starlit field. The grass and dirt were wet underneath his feet, and a gentle wind tossed his hair across his face. But he wasn't alone. There was a presence behind him. And Joseph turned around to see a tall man, robed in dazzling white and gold. His dark hair hung in ringlets on his shoulder, and his face was stern. Joseph felt his whole body begin to tremble. This was not a normal dream, and this was different, and this man was not a man at all. The angel spoke to Joseph with a voice that rolled like thunder through his entire body, and it said, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." With that, the vision ended, and Joseph awoke alone in his home. But something was different. All the fear was gone. All the anxiety, all the anger he had wrestled with was now replaced by peace. Mary's baby was special. He was the Son of God, the Savior. And Joseph and Mary had been chosen to raise him. He couldn't help it, but tears came to his eyes as he grappled with the honor that was now his. He would wed Mary, and he would do everything in his power to do right by the boy. It was around this time that the Romans had ordered a census to be taken. And so as a family, Joseph and a very pregnant Mary made their way to Bethlehem, Joseph's ancestral home. It was a long journey, and Joseph was worried that Mary would go into labor on the side of the road. Fortunately, they made it to Bethlehem before her water broke. Unfortunately, there was no place for them to stay, no safe place to deliver the child. Joseph was desperate, and he began to bang on every door, begging for a space, any space, for his wife to have the baby. Finally, an older couple agreed that they could stay in the stable at the back of their home. Joseph had no idea what to do or how to help. So thankfully, the woman of the house was there to coach him and Mary through the whole process. And after many hours, the child was born. And the first time Joseph held the boy in his arms and looked in his eyes, he knew that what the angel said was true. Joseph was rocking to sleep the Savior of the world. He knew he would do anything to keep the boy safe so that he could fulfill his destiny. Even when he and his family had to flee to Egypt, as Herod hunted for the boy, Joseph knew that God had a plan for his family, and more importantly, God had a plan for Jesus. Joseph had his plans for the way his life was going to go, for how his marriage to Mary would play out, for how starting a family would go. But whether it was Mary's miraculous pregnancy or their unexpected flight to Egypt, God made it clear that he had other plans for Joseph. And despite the fear and frustration that Joseph may have experienced when his best laid plans were thrown out the window, he trusted that God's plan was better than his. Because of Joseph's faith-filled submission to God's plan, Jesus was spared from Herod's sword so that he could give his life years later on a cross for the sins of the world. I don't think it's an understatement to say that 2020 has not gone according to any of our plans. And maybe that's something that we should be thankful for. I think far too often we invest far too much faith and hope in the plans that we make. Think about how often our plans for tomorrow help us get through today. I can wake up at 4:30 a.m. and I can go to work because I know that tomorrow I plan to have a day off and do nothing. I can make it through this semester of school because I know that after this I get to travel for holiday. I can make it through this rough patch in my relationship or at my job because I know that if I just get that promotion, things will be better. You know, we all have these plans, and a good plan can make us feel like we've regained some small amount of control over our lives, which at times can feel very chaotic. And when these plans that we make in our hearts, when they get changed or they're taken away from us, I think that we experience anger and disappointment sometimes because we realize the truth that we were never the ones in control to begin with. Perhaps one of the blessings of 2020 is that we have had to come to terms with the reality that the plans that we make are not promised to come to fruition. James warns us not to place too much faith in our plans for tomorrow when he wrote in James chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. He said, "Look here, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to go to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We'll do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil." Similar wisdom can be found in one of my favorite proverbs, Proverbs 16:9, which reads, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." So if we trust in the plans that we've made according to our wisdom, our lives will be eventually filled with frustration and complaining about the way things should have gone or could have been. James identifies that our overconfidence in our plans, this overconfidence in our plans and our own wisdom, is actually evil. It's us playing at being God and fooling ourselves into thinking that we know what tomorrow will hold. Now, we will all make plans. The demands of this life require it of us. But just as quickly as we make our plans, we must humble ourselves and submit them to the Lord for editing. I want to say that again. We will all make plans. It's just an aspect of life. But as quickly as we make our plans, we must humble ourselves and submit them to the Lord for his editing. This morning, I'd like for us to recognize, like Joseph did, that we can make all the plans we like, but God's plan is always so much better. God is the one, only one wise enough to see what is coming our way and how to prepare us for it. God is the only one with insight enough to know what is truly best for us and our families and our friends. God is the only one thoughtful enough to know that sometimes the plans that we think are good for us may harm us or someone else. Joseph allowed God to edit his plans for his family and his future. And I don't think it took long for Joseph to realize that if he had stuck to his plan of walking away from Mary and her child, he would have missed out on the greatest honor of his life. I guarantee you that this holiday season, something is not going to go according to plan. And I will bet good money that in 2021, your plan for your life won't come together the exact way that you expected it to. And that's okay. We all have plans for our life, but God's plan for our lives is infinitely better. Despite the fear and frustration, every time our plans are discarded or changed, every time that happens, we have an opportunity to trust that God's plan is better than ours, to open our eyes to consider the possibility that though things have not gone according to my plan, perhaps God is at work in this situation. And I know that when we trust in God's plan over our own, we will discover a peace that we can never manufacture on our own. So this morning, I want to encourage us, let's take a lesson from Joseph and let's commit our plans to the Lord. Let's give him permission. Let's even eagerly invite him to edit the plans that we have made for this season, for this next year, for the rest of our lives. Because together as the Church of God, we recognize that God's wisdom far exceeds our own. Would you pray with me this morning? God, you are the only wise God. You are the God who sees all things. You know all things. You know us, God. You know our hearts. You know our minds. Or you know our desires and our hopes and dreams. But ultimately, God, you know what's best for us. Lord, I pray for myself and for my friends here, my family here. Lord, that you would give us a humble heart as we do plan, as we plan what we'll do this month, as we plan what our next year will be like, as we plan our 5 years out. Lord, would you help us to be humble in our planning? And Lord, seek you first. Seek you as we dream about our future, God. But not only that, but Lord, would you help us to hold loosely to the plans that we have? Lord, would you help us to be okay with your editing? Would you help us to be okay with your intervention? Lord, give us an understanding that you do have a plan for our lives, a plan to prosper us. Lord, a plan for our good and for your glory, God. Lord, would you give us a peace in accepting whatever comes our way? Because we know that you are good and you are wise and you are for us and not against us. Lord, I pray you would bless the remainder of our Advent season here. And Lord, as we come close to Christmas, would you just enrich and enliven our remembrance of your birth, Jesus? We pray this in your name. Amen.